Okay, so the topic of the talk is gonna be a little bit far from Bootstrap. It's mostly about integrability and an interesting way to think about it that was developed first by Kevin Costello. I still hope there are enough integrability aficionados in the audience to appreciate it. So, right, so as I was saying, the starting point is a construction by Kevin Costello involving a funny four-dimensional version of John Simon's theory. Is a quantum field theory defined naively just at the perturbative level, which is holomorphic in one complex direction and topological in the remaining two real directions. There's an action which is, it's a theory of a connection which has components along the topological directions, in an holomorphic direction, but sort of missing the Z component. You can write an action which looks like this. It's just you put by hand the Z, and then you write the connection, the one, the John Simon's action. You can define it for pretty much, well, for mostly algebras, but for today I will restrict to SU2 for simplicity. So the reason this theory is interesting is that it has Wilson lines which have a close relation to integrability. So before discussing it, I would like to comment on the existence of this theory, in the sense that, as I'm saying, this theory can be studied just in perturbation theory, in powers of H-bar, and that's already quite interesting. But a lot of the results that one tries to derive from it really want to hold non-perturbatively. So you can try to embed this theory in string theory in various ways, some more natural than another, to give it a non-perturbative definition. But I will not discuss it further today. Now, so this theory is defined in the simplest way on R2 times a complex plane. And it has natural observables, which are Wilson lines in some representation of your group, which sit at some point Z in this complex plane. And these Wilson lines have some interesting properties. So first of all, autoclassically, you can define these Wilson lines for any representation of your gauge group, because intuitively you just write something like that, right? For some representation of the group. Quantum mechanically, there are corrections to the gauge invariants. There are sort of extra quantum anomalies which force you to deform the Wilson line to include derivatives or the connection. Where these extra generators have to act on the same auxiliary space that defines the Wilson line, but they have to satisfy complicated commutation relations, which generates what's called the Youngian of the gauge group, or the Lie algebra. So in this, So essentially, it means that Wilson lines exist only for those representations of the Lie algebra, which can be extended to the representation of this bigger algebra, which is called the Youngian. Now, this Youngian is one of the underlying structures which appear naturally when people study integrable spin chains. It's the original representation space. So you need to find sort of an infinite collection of other matrices which satisfy certain complicated computation relations, which are required to make the Wilson line gauge invariant. So you can, I mean, these calculations really are in principle really done with Feynman diagrams. You take your Wilson line, you compute Feynman diagrams, you look for BRST anomalies, and you try to correct them until everything works. Now,
is this a parameter that suppresses
probably
this?
Powers of H bar. I didn't. Yes. Yeah, I think that the computational relations will have powers of H bar. So now, if you have a collection of these lines in R2, which sit at some points in the complex plane, you can draw pictures like that. We have lines which seem to be intersecting on the real plane, but sit at different points in the complex plane. So they are sort of this natural. So you can ask yourself, you know, what's the result of the gauge theory interactions on this? Meaning, if you put some states at infinity in your Wilson line, and you do a calculation summing over Feynman diagrams, you can show that somehow you get only something local, meaning that if you have a complicated configuration of Wilson lines, the final answer will be just a composition of a bunch of matrices, each of which lives at near each intersection point, which come from summing over Feynman diagrams for the gauge theory. And these matrices, because of topological invariance, satisfy Young-Baxter equations. So you get here some R, you know, A, B, A prime, B prime, of Z minus Z prime. And this will satisfy some RRR equal to RRR Young-Baxter equations, which are the, so it gives what's called an R matrix. The matrices are the basic building blocks of integrable spin chains. In particular, this construction, Kevin proved, gives you a sort of universal family of R matrices, which is labeled by, which is associated to this Youngian symmetry, which are sort of the classical most important R matrices that you encounter in integrability. Depending if you work on C mod, on the cylinder, or on the torus, you end up with sort of rational trigonometric or elliptic versions of these R matrices. There are a lot of interesting subtleties and features of these calculations that I'm not going to discuss, but they all match and explain sort of a variety of miracles that seem to occur when you look for these R matrices. So the fact that the solution of these equations exist is actually definitely not obvious. The very existence of these matrices and of integrable systems in two dimensions is mysterious. And this four-dimensional gauge theory gave a natural explanation of why such R matrices should exist. And they should be labeled by certain data like the Lie algebra. Now, and there are, yeah, as I said, there are a bunch of fun things that happen. For example, if you consider curved Wilson lines, there are quantum effects that would risk breaking topological invariance of these pictures unless the parameter of the lines sort of changes in a very specific way along the line. And similarly, if you look for gauge invariant intersections of Wilson lines, they only exist for specific angles, and so on and so forth. And all of these nice geometric statements end up translating into non-trivial properties of the representations of this Yangon and the way these R matrices can be combined and manipulated.
Sorry. I'm a bit confused.
Yes.
What labels the Wilson line in your original picture? You have these indices AB.
A representation and a point on the complex plane.
But why does the what is the difference between B prime and B? Does the representation change?
No, sorry, these are just indices.
Ah.
Sorry.
Okay. You're not taking a trace there in the Wilson line?
No, that's right. These are open Wilson lines. Now, if your topological plane has a circle, then it definitely makes sense to take a collection of Wilson lines that go along the sort of topological time direction and other Wilson lines that go in space and are closed.
Yes.
Okay. So here you will get something like a trace of a product of R matrices.
Yes.
Which gives what's called a transfer matrix in the integrability literature. So the point is that thanks to the Young-Baxter equations, you can show that these matrices acting on these indices commute. This is why there is a relation between these Young-Baxter equations and integrability. See, once you have solutions of Young-Baxter equations, you can build transfer matrices, which are trices of products of our matrices, acting on some combination of spins, and these transfer matrices commute. And so if you expand them, say, in powers of z or something like that, you're going to get a bunch of commuting conserved. You can pick one of them to be the Hamiltonian, and all the other ones will give you a bunch of commuting conserved charges. And that's the way most integrable spin chains work. So this story was developed originally to explain sort of integrable spin chains, R matrices, and things like that. Now, integrability is not only about spin chains, though. Integrability is also about integrable quantum field theories. There's a whole beautiful literature on integrable quantum field theories, like, the integrable flows between minimum models or Sinch Gordon. And some of those integrable field theories actually also play a role in problems like the bootstrap, the S matrix bootstrap in two dimensions, because often extremal solutions of the X matrix bootstrap turn out to be integrable. The objective of the sort of research program is to understand if it's possible to explain the properties of these integrable two-dimensional quantum field theories using the four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory. Before I continue, I wanted to also remark on another property of these transfer matrices, which they satisfy recursion relations of the Hirota type. For example, for SU2, if I call Tn the representation in the Wilson line associated to a dimension n representation of SU2, you get recursions that look like this. So it's called the Hirota system for SU2. Okay. Now, so what, a proposal that Kevin has been developing in some ongoing projects with me or with Yamazaki or Yagi. I mean, there are a bunch of sort of parallel projects that are intersecting in complicated ways. I'm going to discuss the ones in which I'm involved. But anyway, so the general idea is that the four-dimensional Gershom-Simons theory admits a collection of interesting surface defects, which wrap R2. They're not topological, they contain actual physical degrees of freedom. They wrap R2 at some fixed point, again, in the complex plane. So when I draw a picture like this, and if I insert some of these surface defects, I will have now some dynamical degrees of freedom that propagates everywhere on the plane. But the four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory will still guarantee that the Wilson line, that the Wilson lines are well defined and satisfy all the nice properties of integrability. They are translation invariant, they have R matrices, and so on. So the starting from four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory and decorating it with surface defects allows you in principle to engineer a variety of two-dimensional dynamical quantum field theories, which are automatically endowed with the analog of transfer matrices. And as you know, the more you enlarge your collection of admissible surface defects, the larger the class of theories you'll be able to engineer will get. I'll describe some simple examples. But Kevin has been producing a pretty large zoo that can be used to engineer a variety of well-known theories like ON models or sigma models, integrable sigma models, and so on and so forth. Now, let me comment a little bit on integrability in two-dimensional quantum field theories. So in principle, in order to have an integrable quantum field theory, all you need is a conserved mm-hmm. Yes.
If you draw the diagram that you draw normally for unitarity,
yes.
Is it the identity?
What does it mean the identity? So it's true that if I have something like this, right, and I cross it with something else, topological invariant will say that this is true. So yes, so here there is some product of our matrices with some shifted parameters. And this product should be the identity.
What is the equation?
Well, I guess it depends a little bit on which representations I put here, but it should be something like R. Here is some R of Z minus Z prime. Here is some R of Z minus Z prime plus some multiple of H bar, which depends on which representations are there. It's a kind of a crossing relation, equal one.
Yeah, I have in mind more unitary R of Z than R of minus Z equal one. Like lines cross and then they cross again. Like you have to start with two parallel lines and then
Sorry, here they meet on the other side, so I guess I should have written Z prime minus Z. Yes. Plus a shift, because there is this funny effect, funny quantum effect, that if a line bends in the topological plane, it gets translated in the holomorphic plane. I would stress that these are line defects, they're not particles. Okay? So you can call it crossing symmetry, but it's not really the same as cosine symmetry. Cosine symmetry is a statement about particles. This is a statement about line defects, interfaces in your theory, in your 2D theory. No, not at all. No, these are defects. Defects are never particles. Now, particles can look like defects. But defects cannot look like particles. I didn't say reproduce the ONS matrix.
Do you reproduce the ONS matrix?
That's a non-perturbative thing.
But do you?
No.
Comes out with a different normalization.
It's never this matrix. It's the... So, okay, let me just say a couple words and then it will be clear.
So it obeys Young-Baxter and crossing, but to get it to be exact...
So the ON model has two ingredients. Uh-huh. So there is a UV piece and an IR piece of the integrability of the ON model. In the IR, the ON model flows to a massive theory with massive particles, with an S matrix, which is modeled on the R matrix dressed by some phase.
Yes.
But more intrinsically, this is just an IR phenomenon, right? More intrinsically, there are UV line defects, which are behaves like transfer matrices, and have fused along according to the rota of XX, the XXX rota. And have sort of the equivalent of our matrices, which are local operators that allow them to cross. When you go to the infrared, these UV line defects will flow to some IR line defects. And there will be a scattering matrix between particle and a scattering matrix between a particle and a defect. And there will be the IR images of these sort of R matrix local operators. And so you get sort of SSS equal to SSS. I mean, you get a variety of Young-Baxter-like relations, right? Because the scattering of particles satisfy Young-Baxter, but the scattering of particles and defects satisfy Young-Baxter, and the intersections of defects satisfy Young-Baxter. What the four-dimensional Chesemos theory is going to do is to predict the existence in the UV of defects with certain properties. It's not going to solve the dynamics of the theory for you, with a bit of a caveat, in the sense that we have strong suspicion that the RG flow of the 2D theory can be given a geometric interpretation in 4D Chesemos theory. So but still the setup is quite perturbative in nature. So this will tell you that perhaps you can compute the perturbative beta function or perturbative RG flow in 4D Chesemos theory in some natural way. But you still had to sort of be smart to figure out what happens non-perturbatively to the model. But this is really not about the infrared, it's about the UV. Right, so I anticipated a little bit, but what I want to say is that an integrable quantum field theory in two dimensions is essentially just a quantum field theory which has a conserved current of spin greater than 2. That's enough to have an integrable quantum field theory. When some logical showed that the flow between minimum models was integrable, he just showed that there was a conserved current of spin greater than 2. And that's it. On the other hand, if you solve that model using the TBA equations and you look carefully at the structure of the TBA equations and the analytic structure, the Y functions, whatever else, you will see very strong hints that this integrable deformation of minimum model actually admits UV line defects which fuse according to this. So the existence of transfer matrices is not an obvious consequence of this. But in practice, a lot of the integrable systems that we know happen to have likely transfer matrices labeled by SU2 representations which fuse according to Irota. You can write down a pretty long list of models which have this property. For example, the deformation minimum models is the same. Take minimum model and deform it by 513. There is strong evidence that it has this structure. You can take the Gross-Neville model, which is an SU2 WZW deformed by JG bar. This is a marginal relevant deformation, gives you an integrable flow, and again, you can argue that this structure is there. You can get products of WZW models and deform it by some complicated bilinears of currents. Again, you can argue that not only this can be made in, if you adjust these bilinears a little bit, you can get big families of integrable models, and they all have this structure. There are general coset models. Which have a bunch of analogs of Paretos, which are analogous to these. And again, you can argue that you can add them to the, you can deform by them and get big families of integrable models which have this structure. And it looks really mysterious to me at first sight. Why is there this gigantic collection of models which all had the same, in which integrability manifests in the UV precisely in the same way? I mean, of course, a possible explanation is that all of these models have a microscopic description in terms of a spin chain. That's a perfectly possible explanation. If I take an XXX spin chain and I tune the parameter a little bit, I think you can get a Gross-Neville model quite easily. I can imagine that taking a spin chain with collections of spins of various types and adjusting the parameters in some multi-critical way, I might be able to get all of these theories. But still, it's a little bit cumbersome. No, they are integrable. I'll discuss the properties in a moment. But they're the property that they're topological, but not in a weak sense. So there are line defects in 2D with a property that they can be rigidly translated without changing correlation functions. So in the UVCFT, they start their life as nothing, or maybe as a topological line. As you deform the CFT to make it integrable, you also deform the lines in such a way that preserves this sort of weak topological symmetry. And I can describe, I mean, there is some work that shows that at least a very leading order in perturbation theory, this thing can be done in the minimum models, for example.
So you say they're always topological in the UVCFT?
Yes. So, for example, in the case of the MIMA models, people have shown at least a leading order in perturbation theory that if you take the topological defect called L1,2, this has local operators which are chiral on it, sort of a defect version of 513. There is a chiral one and an antichiral one. And they've shown that if you add them both to the line with a coefficient whose product is the coefficient of that, there is a chance that the line remains weakly topological. Similarly, in the Gross-Neville model, one could try to do the same with the holomorphic and antihomomorphic currents. But again, all of these things have shown that the leading order perturbation theory, they're very hard to show explicitly. I want to argue that for the four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory, gives you a very clean argument of why this kind of lines should exist at all order in perturbation theory. And furthermore, they should satisfy this sort of quantum Hirota relations, which are really, really hard to see directly in quantum field theory. All right, so the idea is that you can you should be able to engineer all of these theories by adding surface defects within the SU true four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory. Somehow the four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory should generate interactions between the degrees of freedom you put at the surface defects, which should take roughly this form, but always be automatically tuned in such a way that everything is integrable. So let me give a slightly more explicit example. So the simplest kind of surface defect you can define is to take a chiral WCW model and just couple the currents to your connection, for the connection. This coupling is clearly okay classically. Quantum mechanically, there are subtleties. There are potential anomalies that Kevin has been studying. These anomalies require you to do some careful modification of the setup. For example, in the action, they require you to replace the Z with something like the Z plus K over Z minus Z naught, the Z, where where Z naught is the location of the defect. These modifications of the sort of the one form. So remember, let me just write down the action again. Okay. So remember, the action involved the Chern-Simons form built out this connection, which is contracted with some one form. I can put one over each bar. This form in the simplest setup is just taken to be one of each bar times the constant form. In order to introduce these surface defects, one has to sort of do a one-loop correction of this one form. It's really more intuitive than it looks, meaning that these currents clearly have an anomaly, a gauge anomaly, a two-dimensional gauge anomaly. You want to cancel this anomaly by anomaly inflow. The simplest way to do it is sort of a three-dimensional Chern-Simons coupling that ends here. This is the holomorphic version of that. And this modification of the one form turns out to be really interesting and really crucial in a lot of the analysis. For example, the sort of Hirota relations that I was writing get corrected in an interesting way. Because instead of Z here, I need to put another local variable I call theta, it's going to be rapidity, with a property that the theta is f of Z, the Z. So you get some funny relation that looks like, I don't know, if you integrate this, something like e to the theta equal to, I don't know, z minus z naught to the k e to the z. These kind of relations then turn out to give you interesting information about the RG flow or the theories we are going to engineer. Anyway, so the simplest thing I can do if I want to get an integrable model would be to take a chiral defect and an anti-chiral defect. separated in the complex plane. And so what does the system look like? I have a chiral at WZW, an anti-chiral WZW, and then the gauge interactions that come from exchanging gluons between them. You can argue that the leading deformation is precisely JJ bar, the exchange of one gluon. So this setup gives you a UV realization of the Gross-Nevers model. And then if you take your Wilson lines in the Fourier theory, they give you the transfer matrices of the Gross-Nevers model. So again, the four-dimensional gauge interactions will give you a sort of coupling between the finite, you know, between the auxiliary degrees of freedom and the Wilson line and the current here and here. So it give you lines that look like the integral of sigma dot j plus sigma dot j bar with some coefficients. These coefficients will be some functions of z minus z naught and z plus z naught. And the four-dimensional gauge theory will automatically adjust them in such a way that this line is integrable for this particular, for some particular deformation. Here. Then you can imagine adding more and more surface defects to get integrable models of this type. And the positions of the, do you place your defects at? Will give you the couplings, the integrable choices of couplings for these deformations. Now, right, so the first application of this should be to give you a list of models which have the sort of the same universal transfer matrices behind, the same IROTA, the same universal TBA equations, perhaps different boundary conditions, and so on and so forth. Another property that these integrable systems have, which I find extremely mysterious, is the so-called IM ODE or IMDE correspondence, which is the statement that if you take the transfer matrices in your Churie quantum field theory, they can look at computer expectation values in the vacuum or in some other excited states. These transfer matrices happen to be equal to the monodromy data of a classical integrable system. Or the Hitchin type. This is a completely mysterious fact. As far as I know, the only way people can argue for it is that this side satisfies thermodynamic Bethe-Ansatz equations, and this side satisfies some integrable equation that comes from a Riemann-Hilbert problem, which has the same form as the equation satisfied by this. I've encountered this correspondence in the past when studying wall crossing and Fourier culture theories, but it has always been unclear to me why it holds. Now, I still don't know why, but I think the four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory can give important hints about that. So, secretly, this correspondence is about properties of this, of what's called the Q functions in the something that is analogous to the Q function in the spin chains. So there are some auxiliary functions which satisfy some interesting relations with the T functions, and which also satisfy differential equations, which can be made depend on some extra parameters which have nothing to do with the spectral parameter, but they satisfy differential equations, sort of these classical differential equations. And there is some hints that the Q functions can be found, can have a description in the four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory in terms of Tuft operators, and that this classical integrable system might have something to do with some TT star equations in the four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory. But we still have not connected all the dots. Still, I think there is at least a good chance that the four-dimensional Chern-Simons setup can explain a variety of mysteries and in integrability and in intradimensional terrible quantum field theories. And also perhaps offer new insights that were not known before. I mean, of course, the integrability literature is enormous, but somewhat disconnected. There are all of these miracles that are unexplained. And I think the four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory can provide an organizing principle to understand them. Now, I wanted to describe in the last 15 minutes, actually, how much time do I have? I did not ask.
Sorry?
OK. So in the last 6 months, more or less, we've been studying a toy version of this setup, where you erase the anti-chiral stuff. You only leave chiral things. This is analogous to what's called the conformal limit in the thermodynamic Betansatz literature. Once you remove the anti-chiral stuff, you can show that there are essentially no interactions left mediated by the 4D theory. So this just gives you a bunch of chiral theories that are not talking to each other. But the Wilson lines survive as something that can talk to all these theories. Essentially, what you get is something like a chiral WZW model with a defect which is only coupled to the chiral currents. Or a chiral minimum model with a defect which is only coupled to a chiral deformation. So there is a certain amount of lore in integrability literature that these sort of problems can be still studied with the tools of integrability, with TBA equations and things like that. It's, at the same time, they're very simple and nice physical problems. This is a Kondo problem, right? I have a WZW model, and I couple it to a spin that sits at some point. And the marvelous thing is that I obtain line defects, which, so they're not conformal. They have an RG flow. They have an interesting RG flow. But they have interesting properties, like should defects commute. So it's automatically true that a defect like this is translation invariant, pretty much because of holomorphicity. You can convert a translation in this direction into translation in this other direction. What's not trivial is that if I take two of these defects with different values of C1 or different representations, they will commute across each other. And they're equipped with R matrices. So there's an integrable structure hidden in these Kondo problems. And the four-dimensional Chern-Simons theory, again, makes it manifest. So there is a nice, interesting collection of integrable Kondo problems that one can study. And the IOMD correspondence also simplifies a lot in that case. Instead of monodromy data of a complicated differential equation, you get monodromy data of Schrodinger equations. So I think this is a sort of a natural playground to try to understand if it's really true that the IOMD correspondence can be explained by Chern-Simons theory. Now, see. I'm not sure it's worth to go into the nitty-gritty details of a specific model. What I should say instead is that in a lot of applications, integrability, including in Carrefour Supermills, analyticity and the analytic properties of these T functions or the Q functions play a very important role. So another of the things that I hope are true is that the four-dimensional chain Simons theory can give a good way to understand these analyticity properties. So out of simple statements like this, as I was mentioning, you know, Kevin can at this point engineer a variety of interesting models, integrable sigma models, integrable like the Ohm model, and but one of the obstructions is, of course, that everything is perturbative. So this action here can be studied in perturbation theory in 1 over h-bar. But it would be nice to have a non-perturbative understanding of, you know, even knowing that these defects exist non-perturbatively and the theory exists non-perturbatively would be important in order to really believe that this is giving a non-perturbative proof of the integrability structure of these theories. So for that, you need to sort of engineer some interior string theory constructions, in which this can be embedded. And this is still quite work in progress. So it's possible, let's say, the classical integrability of these problems will be reduced to some statements about some complicated M theory construction. And I have also the hope that these M theory constructions will ultimately explain also why this sort of date structure was emerging in 4D and equal 2 gauge theories and also in integrable systems. To me, that's another big puzzle that has been going on for a while. I think I'll just end early, sorry.
Can you explain, when you say the under fusion, the line defects obey the Hilbert equation, what are the parameters z and h bar in those integral theories?
So, h bar is just a scale, so just forget about it. It can be one, it's fine. But the spectral parameter is quite interesting. So take a defect which is invariant under rigid translations. What does it mean? So if I have translations of line defects in a direction perpendicular to themselves are controlled by something called the displacement operator. So in order to translate the defect, what you do is you integrate the displacement operator. You deform the defect by the integral of the displacement operator. Now, in order for this to be trivial, it means the displacement operator is secretly a total derivative that there is another operator, dimension one, whose derivative is the displacement operator. Now, you can convince yourself that this is not just marginal, it's actually exactly marginal. Simply because if you do a, if you make some wiggles in your line defect, this corresponds to a deformation like that of your defect, which can be integrated by part to something like that. So a wiggly line is the same as a straight line deformed in a position-dependent way by this u. So the spectral parameter of line defects is just the deformation by u. So you take a line defect, and you deform it by sort of theta integral of u. And this gives you automatically a family of defects, which depends on the spectral parameter theta. Now, if you're now in infrared and you're studying the scattering of a particle of this defect, that will give you some, that's what I was supposed to talk about, sorry. that gives you a scattering matrix between your particle and the defect, which depends on the rapidity of the particle. The fact that the defect is translation invariant means that there is no reflection, just transmission. But if you think about an infinitesimal boost of the defect, that's the same as deforming the defect by u. And so this can convince you that if I deform the line defect, the scattering matrix will just be translated. See, these are defects. They don't have a rapidity, but they have a spectral parameter. But the physics just tells you that the spectral parameter behaves like rapidity when you scatter a particle off a defect. Now, right, so if you're in the IR, right, the data you have is sort of scattering matrices between particles, scattering matrices between particles and defects. And then the IR image or the R matrix between defects. And then you have some relations like SSS equal to SSS, or SSS equal to SSS, and then relations relating these and these. There is a whole very interesting collection of physical statements about the IR physics of this line defects. So if you take a line defect in the UV and you look at it in the IR and the theory is gapped, in the IR it must be a line defect of the gap theory, which is just a finite dimensional vector space of ground states, maybe weighted by some energy. This S matrix here is a matrix which takes the internal degrees of freedom of the particles and this space of ground states of the line defect. If your defect has parameters, you can vary the parameters and ask how the IR physics behaves. And it's interesting that you can actually have phase transitions. So it's perfectly possible for some other set of states to come down and become the new ground states. So you have interesting wall crossing phenomena. These wall crossing phenomena feed into the asymptotic behavior of the transfer matrices. Because in the far infrared, the transfer matrix will be dominated by these ground states. So it will go like e to the minus beta times the energy of these ground states. When you have these phase transitions, the asymptotics of the transfer matrices change. So there's a lot of fun to have about the relation between Stokes phenomena for the transfer matrices and wall crossing of the IR corresponding IR line defects, which is tantalizingly similar to the sort of wall crossing that I was using with Moore and Neiske in this context, but is much more physical in nature. So Right, a lot of the literature about analytic properties of transfer matrices in the TBA equations, for example, it's secretly about the physics of the corresponding line defects and which ground states do they have and how do the ground states scatter with the particles. And sometimes this is made explicit, but not always.
This question. I mean, looking at it, I mean, there are these sporadic examples of integrable systems, or rather, solutions to star triangular relations with a spectral parameter living on the higher genus, special mm-hmm. classes of higher genus curves.
Yes.
I mean, the chiral Potts model being the,
that's right.
the keyword, okay, for that. So it looks like it's a machinery which is suitable to accommodate for,
I think so.
For that sort of things. And if so, I mean, because these sporadic solutions which are traditionally known, they refer to very special, very symmetric cases of mm-hmm. curves with some Zn symmetries or whatever, but. If it is possible to accommodate that, it looks like there might be a universe of solutions of integrable
right.
systems with less symmetric higher genus curves and so forth.
Right.
Could you comment on that?
Yes,
on
so something
that?
Interesting that happens when you take the complex direction to be a curve is that it's hard to find one forms. So to write the action, I needed this one form here, this f of z to z, which, as you remember, in the simplest situation, is something like the z over h bar. So if I have a general Riemann surface of general genus, it's hard to find the one form which has no zeros. It will always have some zeros. If you have a zero of the one form, the coupling is becoming larger. So you need to understand what's going on. You cannot just treat it as a normal point of the surface. You had to put some kind of surface defect there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that Kevin has been looking at it. So you need to figure out what to do at the zeros of these one forms. And maybe the one form, so the fact that, but then things work out. So the fact that you have restrictions on the possible geometry of the spectral curve or things like that might have to do with the fact that this curve must be equipped with one form with specific properties such that you can insert a good defect there. So I think Kevin knows how to build some higher genus examples. I don't know if he knows how to build the Karl Potts model at the moment. Okay. Hi, Kevin. Sorry, I didn't see you.
What was the statement?
We don't really understand the Karl Potts model right now. We do know other
variables. Okay. And yet more naive question. Star triangle relation. There is a rather simple-minded. Generalization of this idea where you replace the lines with the planes and so forth. I used to call that the tetrahedron equation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is there anything to say about that?
Well, there is a five-dimensional Chern-Simons theory, which is topological in one dimension and holomorphic in two, which has interesting lines and surfaces with possible R-matrix-like things. I don't know if Kevin can comment more on that. But I don't know if it could be related to what you have
all right.
in mind.
In the conformal, the non-unitary conformal signal model on supergroups with vanishing Killing form, there are also these topological defects that obey Hirota equation
yes,
under
right.
fusion. That does that fit into this story as well?
Well, I think Kevin should answer that question, but I think yes.
You can build a supergroup model. The only difference is like when you bend the line, you take PSU as
So the lines are truly topological.
What is
it? It's a microphone.
Oh. In some of Davide's formula, the Joule Coxeter number of the group secretly appeared. And if you take ASU4/4, for example, that's the Joule Coxeter number is 0. So lots of things become kind of nicer. So Wilson 9, 0, 10 can bend in arbitrary ways, and they're truly topological.
Right, and hopefully the theory itself is conformal instead of being, I mean, the beta function will vanish. Was saved.
Okay, any more questions? Missing any? Okay, if not, then let's thank David again.